Welcome to Zichu Daf Sin Mani Mamre by Avraham Goldar, and there is Masechus Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Beis, the ninth parak HaGozel Eitzim. Today we reach a very big milestone in this Daf Yomi Maksor. This is brought 1,500. Mazel Tov to Olam De Daf Yomi for winning the Daf day after day for such a long stretch of time, and a special Mazel Tov to our Zichu members who joined us at the start of the Maksor, who now have 1,500 brought organized in their minds, with Simanim, holding on to a grand total of 4,500 topics in Shas. Today's daf has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Aaron and Raquel Brody, Leonishmas Miriam Gittel Bas Rav Shlomo Zev Yosef, Mehir Neshama Haven Aliyah. So the three topics are going to focus on them. When the Gemara established that wood is not subject to Kedusha Shviz because its benefit, baking, is after its consumption, when it's burnt into coals. It asks that oily wood may be used for a torch, where the benefit and consumption are simultaneous, and Rava answered, Stam Eitzimu Hasakah and Omdin. Wood generally stands for fuel usage and not light, and it therefore possesses no Kedusha Shviz, even when he collects it for light. The Gemara says this is a Machlokas Tanaim. One Tana says Shemitah fruit may not be used lo l'mishav v'lo kvusa, neither for a soaking pool of flax, nor for a laundering pool, even where it was picked for that purpose. But Rabbi Yossi says it is permitted when it was picked for it. The Rabban darshan l'achla, to eat, to exclude these uses, but Rabbi Yossi darshans l'chem, for you, l'chosarchem, meaning for all your needs. The Rabban say that l'chem includes uses similar to eating, where the benefit and consumption are simultaneous, as opposed to laundering. Rabbi Yossi says l'achla excludes l'mulugma, using for a medicinal plaster. He holds that laundering is included, sheshab b'kol adam, because it is common to all people, as opposed to plaster, which is only needed for the sick. Point number two is Tana Brisa that if someone gave a shliach money to buy wheat, to sell at a higher price and split the profits, and instead the shliach bought barley, or the reverse, in b'chasu b'chasu lo, if they depreciated for the shliach, v'mosiro hosiro lo, and if they appreciate it for him, meaning the shliach takes all losses and gains and repays the investor's capital. Another Brisa says they divide the profits, but the shliach takes all losses. Rav Yochanan explains that the first Brisa is Rabbi Meir, who taught in Daf Kuf, Amud Beis, regarding dyeing wool the wrong color. The one who deviates from instructions is deemed a gazlan. Therefore, this shliach acquires the produce with the stolen money. The second Brisa is Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees. Blaza says that even Rabbi Meir only considers him a gazlan regarding nid de chazik le'gufe, something fit for the owner's personal use, so he's particular about his instructions. However, if the purchase was made l'schora, for commerce, as an investment, the owner is not particular about his instructions, provided the investment yields a gain. Therefore, both prices can be Rabbi Meir, where the first is a purchase for consumption, and the second is a purchase for commerce. And point number three, in the West, meaning Eretz Yisrael, they mocked Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation that the second price is also discussing a significant deviation from his instructions. According to Rabbi Yehuda, how does the investor acquire a share of the grain when the shliach disobeyed him? V'kimi hodi l'bal chitin sheyigneh chitin l'bal moz. Who informed the owner of the wheat that he should transfer wheat to the owner of the money instead of the shliach? Rav Shmuel bar Sasratia challenges this reasoning, arguing that even when a shliach purchases wheat as he was told, no one informed the seller to transfer wheat to the investor. Riabo answered that when he purchased wheat as he was told, shlichusi kavid, he is performing his shlichus, the ki bahabaisdam, and is considered like the homeowner, meaning the investor himself, so he may perform a transaction on the investor's behalf. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara established that wood is not subject to Kedusha Shviz because its benefit, baking, is after its consumption, burning into coals. It asks that oily wood may be used for a torch, where the benefit and consumption are simultaneous, and Rava answered, Stam Eitzimu Hasaka Hen Omdin. Wood generally stands for fuel usage and not light, and it therefore possesses no Kedusha Shviz, even when he collects it for light. The Gemara says this is a Machlokas Tanaim. One Tana says Shemitah fruit may not be used lo l'mishav v'lo kvusa, neither for a soaking pool of flax, nor for a laundering pool, even where it was picked for that purpose. But Rabbi Yossi says it is permitted when it was picked for it. The Rabban darshan l'achla, to eat, to exclude these uses, but Rabbi Yossi darshans l'chem, for you, l'chosarchem, meaning for all your needs. The Rabban say that l'chem includes uses similar to eating, where the benefit and consumption are simultaneous, as opposed to laundering. Rabbi Yossi says l'achla excludes l'mulugma, using for a medicinal plaster. He holds that laundering is included, sheshab b'kol adam, because it is common to all people, as opposed to plaster, which is only needed for the sick. Point number two is Tana Brisa that if someone gave a shliach money to buy wheat, to sell at a higher price and split the profits, and instead the shliach bought barley, or the reverse, in b'chasu b'chasu lo, if they depreciated for the shliach, v'mosiro hosiro lo, and if they appreciate it for him, meaning the shliach takes all losses and gains and repays the investor's capital. Another brisa says they divide the profits, but the shliach takes all losses. Rav Yochan explains that the first brisa is Rabbi Meir, who taught on Daf Kuf, Amud Beis, regarding dyeing wool the wrong color. The one who deviates from instructions is deemed a gazlan. Therefore, this shliach acquires the produce with the stolen money. The second brisa is Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees. Balazza says that even Rabbi Meir only considers him a gazlan regarding nida chazik le'gufe, something fit for the owner's personal use, so he's particular about his instructions. However, if the purchase was made l'schora, for commerce, as an investment, the owner is not particular about his instructions, provided the investment yields a gain. Therefore, both prices can be Rabbi Meir, where the first is a purchase for consumption, and the second is a purchase for commerce. And point number three, in the West, meaning Eretz Yisrael, they mocked Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation that the second brisa is also discussing a significant deviation from his instructions. According to Rabbi Yehuda, how does the investor acquire a share of the grain when the shliach disobeyed him? V'kimi hodi l'bal chitin sheyigne chitin l'bal moz. Who informed the owner of the wheat that he should transfer wheat to the owner of the money instead of the shliach? Rav Shmuel bar Sasrati challenged this reasoning, arguing that even when a shliach purchases wheat as he was told, no one informed the seller to transfer wheat to the investor. Rehobo answered that when he purchased wheat as he was told, shlichusi kavid, he is performing his shlichus, the ki bahabais dami, and is considered like the homeowner, meaning the investor himself, so he may perform a transaction on the investor's behalf. All right, so now we go to Simon Daf Kuf Beis, and our standard Simon is a cave. A cave. So here goes. The man who lived in a cave, busy soaking flax in a pool of juice of Shemitah produce, picked specifically for that purpose, who had been disappointed when the shliach he sent to purchase wheat returned with barley, was happy to learn that his other shliach carried out his shlichus as instructed and purchased wheat, as he was considered like the investor himself. Once again, in slow motion. The man who lived in a cave, that must be Moran Daf Kuf Beis. The man who lived in a cave, busy soaking flax in a pool of juice of Shemitah produce, picked specifically for that purpose, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Machlokes Tanaim if Shemitah produce may be used for soaking flax or laundering if it was picked for that purpose. So the man who lived in a cave, busy soaking flax in a pool of juice of Shemitah produce, picked specifically for that purpose, who had been disappointed when the shliach he sent to purchase wheat returned with barley, which reminds us, a brisa teaches that if someone gave a shliach money to buy wheat to sell at a higher price and split the profits, and instead the shliach bought barley or the reverse, in b'chasu b'chasu lo, if they depreciated, they depreciated for the shliach, v'mosiro hosiro lo, and if they appreciated, they appreciated for him, meaning the shliach takes all losses and gains and repays the investor's capital. Another brisa says they divide the profits, but the shliach takes all losses. Rabbi Yochanan explains that the first brisa is Rabbi Meir, who taught on Daf Kuf Amud Beis regarding dyeing wool the wrong color. The one who deviates from instructions is deemed a gazlan. Therefore, this shliach acquires the produce with the stolen money. So the man who lived in a cave, busy soaking flax in a pool of juice of Shemitah produce, picked specifically for that purpose, who had been disappointed when the shliach he sent to purchase wheat returned with barley, was happy to learn that his other shliach carried out his shlichus as instructed and purchased wheat, as he was considered like the investor himself, which reminds us, in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they mocked Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation that the second brisa is also discussing a significant deviation from his instructions. According to Rabbi Yehuda, how does the investor acquire a share of the grain when the shliach disobeyed him? Who informed the owner of the wheat that he should transfer wheat to the owner of the money instead of the shliach? Rav Shmuel bar Sasrati challenges reasoning, arguing that even when a shliach purchases wheat as he was told, no one informed the seller to transfer wheat to the investor. Rav Yavo answered that when he purchased wheat as he was told, he performed his shlichus, and is considered like the baal bais, the investor himself, so he may perform a transaction on the investor's behalf. So once again, the man who lived in a cave, busy soaking flax in a pool of juice of Shemitah produce, picked specifically for that purpose, who had been disappointed when the shliach he sent to purchase wheat returned with barley, was happy to learn that his other shliach carried out his shlichus as instructed and purchased wheat, as he was considered like the investor himself. All right, so now it's time for four blah back Hazara. Daf Tzadiches. So the Siman Daf Tzadiches relates to schok, and we use a clown. So here goes. The clown routine. Clown? That must be more Daf Tzadiches. Schok. The clown routine featuring one clown knocking another clown's hand so that his coin fell into the clear waters of the Yamagado, which reminds us, Rabbah said, Hazork Madbeah Shal Chaver Yamagado Pater, one who throws his fellow's coin into the Mediterranean Sea is exempt from paying because it can be retrieved. Rashi explains that although the owner has to pay divers to retrieve it, that damage is indirect. It's grama. This is only if the water is clear where the coin is visible, but if it was thrown into murky waters, he's liable because it's considered lost. So the clown routine featuring one clown knocking another clown's hand so that his coin fell into the clear waters of the Yamagado, followed by the second clown taking revenge and burning the first clown's shtar and laughing that he only burned a mere paper of his, which reminds us, Rabbi said, Hasorv shtaro shel chavero pater. One who burns his fellow's loan document is pater. Although the lender cannot collect his loan, the one who burned the shtar can say, Niara klaiminach, I burned a mere paper of yours and did not directly damage the loan, but destroyed his proof. Even Rabbi Shimon, who holds davar hagorma l'mamun k'mamun dami, something that causes the benefit of money, is like money, only holds this way, but davar she'ikaro mamun, with something that is inherently money, such as an animal, which became hektish, or chametz, which became asur b'hanav to Pesach, but would agree that a shtar, which has no inherent value, is not considered money. So the clown routine featuring one clown knocking another clown's hand so that his coin fell into the clear waters of the Yamagado, followed by the second clown taking revenge and burning the first clown's shtar and laughing that he only burned a mere paper of his, concluded with the third clown pretending to be a carpenter who broke the box he made for the first two and saying, Uman Kona B'Shevach Kli, which reminds us, if one gave a carpenter wood to make a box and after making it, he broke it, he's exempt from paying the value of the finished product. The Gemara explains, Uman Kona B'Shevach Kli, a craftsman acquires the improvement to a Kli resulting from his work and ordinarily sells that share to the owner when it's complete. Therefore, when it breaks, the owner's loss is only the original wood he owned, not the increased value. Dav Tzadi Tes. So the Simur Dav Tzadi Tes is a cheetah. So here goes. The craftsman who is still waiting after sunset to be paid for stamping cheetah spots. Cheetah. That must be Dav Tzadi Tes. Cheetah. The craftsman was still waiting after sunset to be paid for stamping cheetah spots on the garment he returned to the customer, which reminds us, the Gemara seeks to disprove that a craftsman acquires utensils improvement from a brisa discussing prohibition of delaying a laborer's wages overnight. If a craftsman completed work on a cloak given to him and informed the owner but did not return the cloak, the owner does not transgress the prohibition even 10 days later. However, if he returned the cloak midday, as soon as the sun sets on him, he transgresses baltalin, the prohibition of a laborer's wages shall not remain overnight with you, because the wages are owed as soon as the cloak is returned. The Gemara answers that he was hired to stamp on the cloth, a ma for each stamping, meaning he's paid for his acts and not the cloth's improvement, so he does not acquire it. So the craftsman was still waiting after sunset to be paid for stamping cheetah spots on the garment he returned to the customer, was approached by a wealthy woman who gave him some gold and told him to make a gold ring with a cheetah on it, and she'll become married to him, which reminds the Gemara suggests that the question of Uman Konach B'Shevach Kli is a Malkokas Tanaim. A woman handed gold to a craftsman and said, make for me bracelets, earrings, or rings with it, and in return I'll become married to you. Ramirez says she's married as soon as he makes him and gives him to her, but the Chamis say, as the Gemara explains, that he must give her other money, but this jewelry would not affect Kedushin. The Gemara assumes everyone holds that Yeshna l'schiras metchila v'atzov v'hava milva. Wages become owed from the beginning of the work until the end, and that Kedushin made with a loan isn't effective. Since each pruta's worth of work would become owed to the laborer as it's done, accumulating debts to the craftsman giving her the finished product would not affect Kedushin. So the craftsman was still waiting after sunset to be paid for stamping cheetah spots on the garment he returned to the customer, was approached by a wealthy woman who gave him some gold and told him to make a gold ring with a cheetah on it, and she'll become married to him. After she decided not to marry the expert shochet who improperly shechted an animal, rendering it a nevel. Which reminds us, Shmuel said, Tabach umeshakilkel, an expert shochet who was given an animal to shecht, and he ruined it by shechting it improperly, rendering it a nevela. He's chayv to pay the owner. He's a damager, and he's negligent. It's like the owner said to him, shecht for me here, the trachea and esophagus, and he shechted him from a different place. The second phrase adds that even if he shechted it for free, he's still chayv for his negligence. Daf kuf, so the simon daf kuf is a kof, a monkey. So here goes. The circus monkey, monkey, that must mourn daf kuf, kof. The circus monkey standing under a lifnim ashur as a din sign, giving a female monkey bananas for wrongly evaluating the validity of her coin, which reminds us, the previous stuff relates an incident in which a woman showed a dinar to Rabbi Chiya, who told the coin was good, and she accepted it based on his judgment. She returned the next day and said that she was told it was a bad coin and could not use it as currency. Rabbi Chiya told Rav to exchange it for her and to write into his ledger, din esek bish, this is a bad occupation, meaning taking losses needlessly for advice he should not give. The Gemara wonders why Rabbi Chiya was liable since he was a great enough expert to be exempt. And it answers, Lifnim Mishur said, Din hu David. He went beyond the letter of the law in compensating her, for he was indeed exempt. So the circus monkey standing under a Lifnim Meshur HaSadin sign, giving a female monkey bananas for wrongly evaluating the validity of her coin, saw another monkey wearing a Din Garmi cap swinging towards him, holding paper that said, "You are chayav to pay," which reminds us, Reish Lakish showed the Edina to Rebbe Elazar, who told him it was a good coin. Reish Lakish told him he was relying on him and explained that if it were found to be bad, Rebbe Elazar would be responsible to exchange it. This is because Reish Lakish rules like Rav Meir, Doin Dina de Garmi, who judges the law of Garmi obligating payment for certain cases of indirectly causing damage. So the circus monkey standing under a Lifnim Meshur HaSadin sign, giving a female monkey bananas for wrongly evaluating the validity of her coin, saw another monkey wearing a Din Garmi cap swinging towards him, holding a paper that said, "You are chayev to pay," and flying over a third monkey dyeing wool black that was meant to be dyed red, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one gave a dyer wool to dye red for him, and he dyed it black, or the reverse, Rabbi Meir says, no similar to made samro, he pays him the wool's original value, because Rabbi Meir considers his deviation from his instructions as stealing the wool, so he acquires it with a shinui of coloring. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says he pays either the dyer's expenses or the wool's improvement, whichever is less. Daf Kuf Aleph. So the Siman Daf Kuf Aleph is a bird collar that goes ka ka. So here goes. The bird collar, that must be more in Daf Kuf Aleph, a bird collar who goes ka ka. The bird collar who blew his whistle as two birds held up his stolen sweater to see if the stolen dye was still present in it, which reminds us. The Gemara asks the question, Yesh Shevach Samanim Ahatzemer, is the improvement of dye on the wool considered something material or not? Rashi explains the question is if chazusa milsi, appearance, is a significant matter, making the dye still considered present. Since stolen dye must be returned, the case must be where one stole wool and dye belonging to the same person, and he dyed the wool with it and then returned the dyed wool. If yesh shevach samanim al gabi tzemer, the dye is still considered present, he has returned everything he stole, but if not, he must pay for the stolen dye. So the bird caller who blew his whistle as two birds held up his stolen sweater to see if the stolen dye was still present in it, had a jacket that had been dyed with the peels of orla fruit set afire because chazusa milsihi, which reminds us it was stated in the Mishnah, Beged shetzvo beklipe orla yedalek, a garment which was dyed with the peels of orla fruit should be set afire. This proves chazusa milsi, appearance, is considered a significant matter, and the oral is still considered present. So the bird caller who blew his whistle as two birds held up a stolen sweater to see if the stolen dye was still present in it, had a jacket that had been dyed with the peels of orla fruit set afire, because chazusa milsihi, using wood which has no kedusha shviz, since its benefit is after its consumption, which reminds us, the Gemara deals with the question if wood is subject to kedusha shviz, and answers that the pasuk says, la'achla, to eat, teaching, b'misha naso ubi'iro shavin. Kedusha shviz applies to produce whose benefit and consumption coincide, like food. This excludes wood, whose benefit, the baking, is after its consumption, meaning after the wood is reduced to coals. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which step do the case of one sending a shulich to buy wheat to sell, and the shulich fulfills the shulichus as he acts on the investor's behalf? That's on Daf Kuf Beis. Good. Number two, which of the one, if a gazlan stole a palm tree and cut it into logs, he does not acquire them since they're still called palm tree logs. That's on Daf Tzadivav. Good. Number three, which of the one, if a craftsman returned a cloak at midday, as soon as the sun sets, the owner is over on Baal Talin. That's on Daf Tzaditas. Good. Number four, which of the one, the Remer holds of Din Garmi obligating payment in certain cases of indirect damage. That's on Daf Kuf. Good. Number five, which of the one the Rav Huna holds that a coin that is nipsal means it is disqualified by the government to use. That's on Daf Tzadi Zayin. Good. Number six, which of the case of one sending a shulich to buy wheat to sell on the market and he returned with barley. That's on Daf Kuf Beis. Good. Number seven, which of the question whether yesh shevach samanim ahatzemer is the improvement of dye on the wool considered something material. That's on Daf Kufav. Good. Number eight, which stuff do you mean the one who throws his fellow's coin into the Yamagadol is pater from paying because it can be retrieved as the water is clear? That's on Daf Tzadiches. Good. Number nine, which stuff do you mean if Shemitah produce can be used to soak flax if it was specifically picked for that purpose? That's on Daf Kufbez. Good. Number ten, which stuff do you mean the garment that was dyed with klipe orla should be set afire, proving chazusa milsihi, appearance, is considered a significant matter. That's on Daf Kufav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Yehuda Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.